The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
You may please be seated. Praise the Lord. I welcome you to this final day in the month of May. And I know that God is set to bless you in Jesus' name. I'm starting a little bit earlier than we normally start, so as to be able to cover the ground and to be able to allow the questions and answer session that we promised. I said that the protocol should get ready sheets of paper that can allow us to be able to do that. So at the right time, I will tell you to distribute this sheet of paper so that we can write down our questions and then we can get them answered. But tonight we want to take the final class in this success formula for relationship and marriage that we have been treating in the last few weeks. And tonight I want to start with the singles as usual. I'll take a few issues on the singles and we go to the married formula. Tonight I'll be speaking, narrowing my teaching to how to know the will of God in marriage. Because this has been one of the major issues for singles. How do I know the will of God? There are many people around me, many ladies, many guys, many people calling for my attention. How do I really know the will of God? And I want you to tighten your seatbelts, because tonight God is going to say something to you in Jesus' name. How to know the will of God? Many people start their marital life with misdirection. And because they don't know what to do, some even go around visiting fake pastors and prophets, spending money and browsing websites, looking at the star, you know, visiting all sorts of places to find out the will of God. The will of God is not difficult to know. The message title is Success Formula for Relationship and Marriage Part 4. But we are treating under the singles formula how to know the will of God. So the topic is not how to know the word. For the singles, it is how to know the will of God under that that series. The Lord bless you, media. So God always wants to lead us. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he says, call upon me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So God always wants to lead us. Say after me, God wants to lead me always. God is interested in leading you and I always. He's interested in showing us the way always. He wants us to know the right way. And I believe that tonight he will show you the way in Jesus' name. I say he will show you the way in Jesus' name. And the way to know the way of God is to seek God. Only those that seek him can find him. If you want to know God's way and pattern and how to know his will for you in marriage, seek God. Say, he that seeketh me will find me. If you seek me, you will find me. You will find God today. I say you will find God today. You can seek him in the place of fasting and prayer. And as you take your time to pray and fast for direction, God will confirm to you in any of the following ways. There's only way to know the will of God. Seek his face. If you want to know God's will, there's only one way. Seek his face. And when you seek his face, these are the ways he will show you his will. Number one, a still small voice. In 1 Kings 19 verse 12 to 13, 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 12 to 13, the Bible said, was speaking there. He said, after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll start again. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Just stop there. There was an earthquake, but God was not there. There was a fire, but God was not there. Then God speaking, he said, come, this is me in a still small voice. So when you want to know the way of God, as you seek his face, he can speak to you if you are really a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit in you through a still small voice. Just whispers to you. That is the guy. That is the man. That is the woman. That is the person. He can speak to you directly. He can speak directly into your spirit. That is the right person for you. Number two way that he can speak to you as you seek him is through dreams and revelation. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28, Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." So one of the ways that God speaks is through dreams and revelation. Now listen to this. Don't interpret your because there are some times that you think of somebody towards the night and you dream and you see the person handing over a ring to you. That is not what I'm saying. I'm talking of you are seeking the face of God for direction, and in the place of the night he reveals it to you. Normally you don't, it's not all the time that God shows you things in the dream, but on that matter God specifically speaks to you, and you are sure that it is the Holy Spirit speaking to you in the form of dream. This has happened many times. Joseph was about to leave Mary. How many of you know the story? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit appeared to him in the night and said, "I impregnated that lady. Don't leave her. I impregnated her, and she will have a son called Jesus. Marry that lady. She's a good lady. I impregnated her." Thank God that Joseph was a spiritual man. He would have abandoned that lady, and he would have missed his place as the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God speaks through dreams. But in this particular area, you must be very careful so as not to be misled. Because a lot of times, a lot of people dream, and their dream is just a figment of their imagination. What they were thinking of, the kind of person they saw, and they want to get married, and they spotted the person, they start daydreaming, and in the night that guy appears to them, and they say, "No, this must be the guy, because I saw him yet last night in my dream." Praise the Lord. But God can't do that. God can do that. God speaks a lot of times in dreams. Apostles and prophets, you see God speaking to them in dreams. Joseph, God spoke to him about his future in a dream. And many people like that, God speaking to them. Abraham, God spoke to him in a dream, and many other great men of God were spoken to in the form of a dream. Jacob was spoken to in the form of a dream. So many of us can be spoken to as a single, showing you what God is saying in your dream. Number three way that God can show you show you the way, even as you seek him, is through the word, even as you study the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. "For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, and for reproof in righteousness." God's word is for doctrine, is for reproof, is for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So as you study the word, God can speak. Now, this happens to me as a president a lot of times. As you are studying the scripture, God can open your eyes and you can see something about your marital life in the scripture, showing you the kind of person you should get married to. And as you come in contact with that person, the scripture flashes to your mind. Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 to 3, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the counsel of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law does he meditate day and night." Then because of this, this guy will begin to prosper. This lady will begin to have contact with God's will. May you assess God's will today. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, "This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And this good success also includes marriage. So as you study the scripture as a single, that's why as a single, a day must not pass without you studying. I would say study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed. So as you study, you gain access to revelation. God can show you in the scripture the kind of person you should get married to, and the person can also appear physically even as this goes on. There are some scriptural definitions of people we must get married to, you can get married to as a Christian. And this can be easily seen in the scripture. And when you see this person, you say, yeah, this is the kind of guy I studied in the scripture. This must be the person. You know, things like that also happen. And I know that there's somebody here today, God is going to help you the more in the name of Jesus. That's why you must work hard to ensure that every day, especially as a single, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be digesting I don't want to give you specifics, but several chapters of the Bible in their tens per day. What are you doing? In Psalm 119 verse 18, the Bible says, open thou my eyes, O God, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy laws. May you behold wondrous things today. I say, may you behold wondrous things today. So as a single, spend time in the morning, have time, be like 6-7 chapters in the morning. In the afternoon, you set time again in the library, in the school, or maybe at work, you have some extra time for your lunch. You settle down with the scripture. Instead of browsing a sort of rubbish website, settle down to study. Some singles are using the same Bible for 7 years. It's a sign that you are not serious. Your Bible should be something you use regularly. So it wears out, you buy another one. It wears out, you buy another one. If you are using the Bible your mommy gave you, and you have been using it since she gave you in secondary school till now, it shows you are not studying it. So get it to work. I'm not saying you should be tearing it or making it look, but when you work on it, it will show. It will wear and tear. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus. Number four, that God can show you, how God can show you as a single the way out is through divine and genuine love in your heart, not money love. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not that kind of love I'm talking about. I'm not talking of the kind of love of money whereby you see somebody and say, I love you because the guy is rich or because he has some money. No, that's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about genuine love. 1 Peter 1 verse 22. Love that is genuine and sincere. You speak to the Lord and you begin to feel, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. That is love that is not a carnal love. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Not the love of, God, how I wish I can undress this lady. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. How I wish I can. I told you when I was serving in the north, a lady told us one day and said, there's a guy who was like Mr. Macho in our camp. And then he was staying not too far from where I was staying. And the lady said, if only I can handle this guy. I undress him and I handle him. He will never forget it. 6 months ago, I handle him on the bed. And I looked at her like this. That's not love. That's carnality. That is iniquity. That is destruction. And the Bible says we should flee from all appearances of evil. So that's not the kind of love. I'm talking about genuine love. You have been praying to God, show me the person. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel a giz-giz. Genuine love in your heart towards a particular person. You begin to, the more you try to draw back from that person, the more you love the person. I always say this to singles when I take programs in places and all that. I tell them, one of the things you need to pray about as a single, if you are in a relationship, is, Father, if this guy or this man is not the person for me, let his love dry up in my heart. I pray that prayer. And the more I pray that prayer, the more I thought of my fiancée, who is my wife today. Say, God, if this woman is not your will for me, everything that is called that I like her or want to see her, let it dry up. That is for a person who is ready to be sincere, not for a person who is already blind. I know they say love is blind. Love is not blind, though. If love is blind, marriage will open it. If your love is blind, by the time you enter into marriage, your eye will open. Marriage will shine your eye. So it's better to from now pray that prayer. I don't want to. One of the things I always tell singles is, don't be a person that likes to waste time. Pray on time, so that if this thing is not God's will, let it permit. Let it die a natural death. Why do you want to invest 7 years in a relationship? 7 years of your life in a relationship that will not end in anything fruitful. 7 years of going from, you eat in one eatery, you buy card, you have emotional stuff, you chat, you play, you have gone to the guy's house, you know the cousins, even the grandmother knows you in the village, and after 7 years, everybody goes own way. They say somebody is doing, they are doing one thing in their family. You travel 9 hours to the place. You do like this. As an Yahweh there. After 8 years, they say nothing again. What kind of misinvestment of life is that? What kind of misinvestment? May you not misinvest your life. May you not misinvest your destiny. And it's not only for ladies. It happens to guys too. Whereby you invest so thing in a lady, in fact, you are the one that sent her to ND. You sent her to HND. She said she wants to do direct entry again. You paid her school. After that, immediately she went for service. She came back with another person. She came back with engagement ring. I said, what do you want to do? I ain't sure. I don't know what's big deal. Kini big deal. Kini big deal. Kini big deal. Kilo one be. Ha. At least I cook for you that time too. You too, you ate my free food. So, if I... May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. You will not misinvest your life, oh. I say you will not misinvest your life. I'm already shooting too much time in this single. I have allocated the time for single and married. I must not exceed the time for the two. So, number five, on how God can speak to you. On for you to know his will through special prophetic and divine arrangements. God can mysteriously arrange you to meet somebody. You just mysteriously jam, and almost immediately you know that this is God's will. There is a special arrangement. So much so that you is so glaring that the hand of God is on that arrangement. This can also happen as you pray and as you seek. Let me tell you, every single that is here, everybody that is single has his own partner. You don't need to give yourself, you don't need to envy anybody's husband or wife or anybody's fiancé. You have your own. If you can follow this way of seeking God, you will connect. Magnet will naturally attract to another magnet. When you are and your fiancé or your husband is somebody that is far from you, it's not somebody that is in a place that you cannot, maybe the person, even if the person is far away, there will be, that's what I'm talking about here, mysterious circumstance. And God will make that happen for somebody in the name of Jesus. That's it, that will make that happen for somebody in Jesus' name. And number six, it can happen. God can also show you his will through absolute peace of mind over your relationship. You are in a relationship and you have absolute peace of mind. Your mother likes the person. Your father likes the person. You yourself, you love the guy. Your pastor sees the person and say, this guy is... Yeah, you just have peace of mind. I remember when we were about to get married, my wife's pastor sent for me. And my wife has been telling me, this man is a hard man, oh. He's a medical doctor. He's this. He has hospital in this place. He's a this. He's that. He's this. He's a hard man. We ask you plenty of questions. Prepare. It's as if I should go for 14 days fast before I saw the cinema. And I said, all right, no problem. And as I went there, I just walked in. Even if the man saw me coming, he just started laughing. He said, sit down. And throughout, instead of talking to me, he was talking to her. Take care of this man, oh. And I was wondering, but they said this man will show me Pepe. Say, whoa, mommy, if you don't take care of it. He did not give me one single stress, peace of mind. When your relationship is having too much headache, voila, today, some problem today, mother-in-law fights you today, you have not even entered the house, they have already poured Pepe water on your head. Yeah, there's one headache or another, they are sending stinker texts to you. They already bamboozling you. Everybody's already fighting. It means that, oh no, baby, it's not your house. Don't go and put your head inside wahala. It's already showing. God is one of you to mama banikale. AI that will follow you till night. Shout hallelujah! It will not from now be giving you problem. You are just relationship of less than 1 year. You can count more than 14. You and the guy said, voila. You fight on Monday. You settle on Tuesday. Wednesday again, you continue. Thursday again, you continue. Appa, what is it? Kilo day. When you are not inside Mike Tyson ring. Eh? It means that God is. You must have whatever God wants to do, it will have peace of mind. Anything that is too full of fight and all these things shows that don't bother yourself. Just wait for your own, and ensure that God will connect him or her to you. And as I round up under this for singles, don't be lukewarm or lethargic towards God. He is ready to show you your next levels if you can seek him. In Matthew 6 verse 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. The Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Every single here shall be favored in Jesus' name. Just this evening, maybe around 2:05, when I was just trying to just look through this message briefly, God gave me 5 points. This message was prepared yesterday or so, but today as I was just going through it this evening, God gave me 5 points and I quickly noted it down. Causes of wrong decision in marriage. What are the causes? Why do people make wrong decision and go into marriage? Number one is impatience. Don't be too impatient. Number two cause of wrong decision in marriage is family causes. When you are not patient, you can wrong into wrong decision. Number two is family. When a family is cursed, every marriage in that family doesn't have rest. It can lead to problem concerning a single's marital life. And we'll be dealing with that in a place of prayer tonight. Every family that is cursed here, you'll be exempted from that curse in Jesus' name. You'll be exempted from that curse in Jesus' name. Number three, cause of wrong decision in marriage is vengeance. When you have been involved in scattering another person's family before, when you enter, you know that this guy is married. He said he was the one that lured me. He showed that he liked me, but you know that he's married. Why didn't you say no? Ah, but you are married. I can't do this. Why didn't you say no? Because people say he lured me. Yes, he lured. I agree with that. But at the same time, you knew that this lady is a married woman, and you still went ahead to speak to her, and you captivated her heart. Her heart left her husband and came to you. So when you yourself want to get married, God will bring forth vengeance. And I pray that mercy will speak tonight in Jesus' name. That's why I always advise young people not to go into relationship with the married. It's not something that is very good at all. And because of money, because people want fame, people want to be associated with big people in quotes, you know, all those kind of rubbish makes people to dive into such things. Please, if you know, people say allergies and people like toasting me, then you have to watch your Christian life. You have to watch your Christian life. If everybody that is toasting you is always somebody that is married, you are not speaking a good message. That's why they are able to come near you. Okay? So once you see such, you go back to seek God. What's going on? It's a single lady of 25. How can guy, men who already have children as old as me be toasting me? And I told them I can't do that. And they still persist. And me too, I cannot draw back. It means that something is wrong. And this can cause vengeance, whereby the lady, God will also want to show the person that what you did in destroying somebody else's home. May the Lord have mercy in Jesus' name. I say, may the Lord have mercy in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes some women can curse a lady, a young lady. I say, you are the one that caused problem between me and my husband. Oh, you the so-so lady. They will call the person's name and say, so-so and so-so and so-so and so-so. You too, you will never, and it will happen. So please, if you are in any form of such deceased, it must not pass tonight. It must not pass tonight. If you know anybody, or you or yourself, please, it is not good. You might have been tempted, but now that you know, withdraw. Say, why will I do this? This is not befitting of a child of God. May the Lord give you grace to do this in Jesus' name. Number four, causes of wrong decision in marriage is satanic attack. When devil sees that you have a glorious future, he can attack your destiny. When devil sees that there is a place for you at the top, he can attack your marital destiny through a deliberate scheme to ensure that you don't have a marital settlement. But tonight, every such marital schemes of the wicked shall be terminated in the name of Jesus. It shall be terminated in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter the cobweb of delay, of satanic evil that has pursued you maritally. It must bow tonight in the name of Jesus. And number five, cause of wrong decision in marriage is wrong company or consultations. When you don't have good friends, you will definitely make wrong decisions. When you tell your friends, I'm in a relationship with somebody, and the person says, is he rich? Does he have money? Wadada, Pepe. Does he have Pepe? Say, they don't even ask, is he a Christian? Is he born again? Which church does he attend? Is he, then that one is unknown. But is he rich? Let us milk him. Let us suck him. Let's suck him dry. Or you are involved in evil consultations. I heard the story of some ladies that normally, because of looking for husband and all these kind of things, we travel. There's some place outside of Nigeria, Republic of Benin area, and we drop in the bus and walk into the bush. We go and meet people and collect things to be used to put on their eyes, on their mouth. If you know such people or you are involved in such, please tell them to desist from such. It can cause marital problem. Your beauty is more than enough. There is somebody that is dying as big or as small as you think you are. There is somebody that can die for you as you are. There is somebody that he can do anything just to be with you. So don't give yourself, just locate that person. Don't give yourself too much headache. Don't collect anything from anybody. Don't facilitate things. Don't take things. Don't you take all sorts of soaps, all sorts of things, all sorts of people just get themselves into trouble. Enter into trouble. Demonic hand accursed. There are some pastors, their hands are accursed. Accursed hands. If they lay it on your body, rub your body like this, that body could show you the lie. It cannot make any impact in life. Accursed hand. Don't involve, don't call anything. People just, I don't know. Who is as powerful as this God? Nobody. There's nothing you want that he will not do for you. If only you can wait on him. I pray for every single here today. Your case shall be a success story. Your case shall be a success story. I prayed a prayer for you last week Wednesday that my eyes, with my two eyes, I will see you become great in life. Greater success in marriage, in ministry, in business than God has given to us as servants of God and as pastors, God will give to everyone here today. Every single here today, God is going to give to you your exact desire. You will not miss it. In Yoruba, our elders will say, you will not carry another person's bone. Let me hear your amen. You will not carry another person's bone. I say, you will not carry another person's bone. Let me hear your loudest amen. Give Jesus a big clap tonight. Yeah, quickly we move to the part two, the marriage success formula. So married, you benefit from this. Sorry, singles, you benefit from this also. But in married, you take this very serious. I'll give you just 4 points and we go to pray. Marriage success formula number one for tonight is manage your resources prudently and judiciously together. How many of you think that we should put this series into a book where we can read and we can praise the Lord? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Manage your resources prudently and judiciously together. Let there be open accountability in finance. It has been observed that one of the major things that causes problem in marriage is money. Money. He's spending my money. She's spending my money. His money. Is it because you are earning more money? Is it because you have more money? All those kind of things. I was with you when you didn't have money. Now that you have money, all those kind of things. Be open to your spouse on your financial level. Let your wife know your income. Let your husband know your income level. This will enable them to know how to pray for you. This will enable them to know what they need to do. So manage your resources prudently. Every married person here, encourage your spouse to be prudent in spending. If you are a man, encourage your wife to be prudent in her resources. The thing that God has given to her, she must not squander it on Ashwebi. She must not squander it on Brazilian hair if she cannot afford it. Don't allow unnecessary squandering of money. Don't allow your husband to squander money. I mean, men also do this a lot. Just spend money. Just spend money lavishly. Just spend money lavishly. There's no reserve anywhere. Your family should have a reserve. But before we go into the issue of reserve, it is important that every family is involved in tithing. Every family. Your family should not be a family that is stealing from God. This is one of the reasons why a lot of husbands are not happy with their wives in the future. Because some of the advice women should give their husband, they didn't give. They were spending the money together doing this. Eventually, when the devourer comes, discipline is a painful thing. It's a painful thing, but it's a profitable thing. So as a wife, encourage your husband, encourage him, and push him to do the things that are right in righteousness. There are some women, they are the ones that will tell their husband, don't do this when it comes to the things of God. No, are you the only one there? What? No, don't do that. If your husband can build 5 churches for God, let him build it. Those things are profitable things for your family. If your husband can send your children to America to a school, let him do it. Those are profitable things. If your husband can give scholarship, if he has the finance to do it, let him do it. Don't hold his hand and say, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't, all those kind of things are not okay. At the same time, the family should have a reserve in case of emergency. God forbid the emergency, there's a reason for you to quickly need money. You are not running. You that you have been earning money for many years. Can you imagine myself and my wife now, God forbid we have an emergency? Now, as we speak now, we now start growing in task. There's no reserve anywhere. What kind of marriage are we running? And we are working for many years. You must have a reserve. You have a business, you thank God for it, and you spend both the principal and the profit, everything, you chop it. Let me see. Fish, chicken peri peri, Indomie noodles, hamster mortar, everything. Why are you doing like as if you have never seen food before? Relax. You know, the more you grow older, the lesser food you should eat, actually. The lesser food you should eat. When you grow older, the things that used to be priority to you before, it will change. When I see a lot of youth, I laugh. As you grow older, you see that things that matter to you before, your priority will change. It's just because you are still your time now. That's why you are still thinking like that. Just grow older small. You see that all the things that you matter to you now will matter very soon. So manage your finances. You are a husband and a wife. Your wife got pregnant. Start saving. It's not a time to be carrying girlfriend. It's not a time to be playing around. Start saving. Start saving. Not that it's the time your wife delivered. You now start. It's an embarrassment to you to be running around after you had 9 months notice. If somebody gives you 9 months notice of something, isn't that notice enough? 9 months. If somebody says something is coming for you, 9 months time. Even if you have to go and carry wood in a sawmill, won't you carry it?
Who was there when you facilitated everything? So prepare, be gathering money, be saving money small somewhere. Be saving money small somewhere. Not that is the time. I honestly don't really appreciate. Sometimes I do it out of my compassionate heart and all that, but it's not a good thing for a man to your wife deliver. You are now phoning around for them to quickly, my wife deliver, they want to pay 20,000 to discharge her. Please, can I get 18,000? You are not serious. Prepare very well and manage your finances very well. You want to pay rent as a husband and a wife. You have to plan. You know, 12 months time you will pay rent. Plan the rent. Start saving. Join hands together. Everything should be joint. Nobody should come into your house and say, his husband, you now buy something, now put your name. Bought by Mrs. So. No. It's a joint thing. Join hands together. Everything. You join hands. It's when you are single, you can do all that. But when you are married, what your husband owns is your own. What you own is your husband's own. Everything now is, it has mixed together, just like your blood has mixed together. That's the way it works. May the Lord give us understanding. Number two is, don't ever think of divorce. Once you are married, the issue of divorce must never cross your mind. Divorce is anti-Christian. It's not Christ-like. I don't have more time. I would have showed you more scriptures tonight. But there's a particular point I want to hammer very well. So I want to move very fast. Don't think of divorce. There are some husbands, once they have problem with their wife, they say, I will leave you. I will divorce you. Leave my house. Which house? Let that woman leave your house. You will see how empty that house will be. You will see how empty that house will be. Very empty. Very, very empty. You say, hello, you hear echo everywhere. What's happening here? Then you see how the whole place dirty, everything. You know, women can't stand dirty environment. Cleaning this, cleaning that, making sure everything is on point. As I woke up this morning, very early this morning, I saw that the bathroom in our room was already washed. I didn't know when the bathroom was washed. This bathroom is looking so clean. I didn't know. And yesterday, my wife was a little strong because of little stress she's been going through. So I was asking myself, well, nobody enters our room to wash anything for us. So when did she have time to even wash this bathroom again? But if you're a man, you poo-poo is in the something, you still put your bum there like this. Appreciate, you know, I've spoken about that in the past, about appreciating yourselves. I will not go back into that. Let the man be the man, you be the woman. Everybody be his own. Appreciate each person's function. Stop talking of divorce. Stop threatening your husband. Stop threatening your, I will leave you. Nonsense. I'm packing my load now. Hello, Papa, I'm coming home. Yeah. You will see that when you get home, the place will not suit you again. It will be too small. The room you used to manage your father's house, by the time you get there, you say, ah. They say, enter your room. You say, room. Enter your room. You say, ah, I hear you. So please, on a light hand, I like the way you are smiling and laughing, but this is a serious matter. Don't think of divorce. You are no more two, you are now one. The issue of that, we will leave each other and let everybody go his own path. You should not come. Settle your issues amicably. Come back together. There are disagreements. Quickly settle. Come back together. You have offended each other. Or forgive each other. Quickly. And what you are forgiving each other about, don't go back into it again. Don't be a dog. It's a dog that goes back to his vomit. You made a mistake. You say, God, I'm sorry. My wife, I'm sorry. And your wife says, okay, I'm forgiving you. Then 2 weeks again, you should go back to again. You have a problem. Number three. Success formula for the married is remain attractive and good looking always. If you want to maintain your home, don't only be spiritual. Spirituality is very important. And I love spirituality so much. But spirituality is not the only thing that will make your home successful. Remain charming and yummy. remain tantalizing and sensational. Don't pass by and smell pass by. Don't let your husband come back from the from work and you tie smelly wrapper, smelling of woo-wee of your children. Look attractive. Look sensational. There are some things you can never wear in church till forever. Till forever. You can never wear it in church till forever. But at home, I put my stamp on it. Wear it. Men are attracted by what they see. So if you are at home, you are looking draggy, smelly, didn't take your bath at night before you went to sleep, you look smelly, sweaty, things are not you say you wear pajamas and there is hole by cockroach all over the place. Old cockroach put there all over the place. And you come and say, and he say, hey, you carry your carry your mouth. That he didn't want to tell you, go and wash your mouth. What he said, say, look tantalizing. Wear good perfume as God helps you. Don't go and buy perfume that is more than your husband's salary. No perfume has level. There's perfume of 120,000. There's perfume of 5,000. There's perfume of 2,000. Just wear as within your own range. Or somebody can leave here and say, hey, you heard what pastor said. Oh yeah, on the perfume I want to buy is 46,000 and your husband's salary is 26,000. You can see that it's a problem. Look tantalizing, look sensational. Also, as a man, look neat. Don't let your boxers be boxers that underneath is already torn. The brownish part of the back is like dipping something inside mud. Your wife sees you, say, ah! Oh, you are chocolate lily. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Be attractive. In church, we always advise, because this is a public place. It's a public place, and there are some dressing that one can never dress in a public place. As a child of God, you have to cover your nakedness. You have to ensure that you look neat and decent, just like we practice in this church. But in your house, dress the way. Seduce him if you want to seduce him. Anything you can wear that will keep his eyes. So if you notice your husband's eye is not on you again, wear what will make his eye permanently on you. Keep the environment clean. Look decent. And before you know it, your love will keep increasing. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. These things are very, very important. And number four, where we take some time, and I will stop so we can start question in the next few minutes. Number four is join hands to train your children. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Also in Psalms 127 verse 3. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Next verse. As arrows are in the hands of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Verse 5, I'll stop there. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The issue of children not bringing. I pray for every married here today that the load of two people will not suddenly become the load of one person. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. The issue of upbringing of children is a vital thing in marriage. Because immediately you get married, you are trusting God, Father, we want children, we want children. They don't bring children up and abandon them to your wife alone. Or abandon them to your husband alone. It's a joint responsibility. Just like their procreation is a joint responsibility. Train them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. He says, and these words which I have commanded this day shall be in thy heart. This is a father speaking. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. All the things you know, teach them diligently unto your children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy houses. Can you see the scripture now? All the things you know, all the good things you know, teach them unto your children. Then the houses. And when thou walketh by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. That is all the time. Speak all these necessary things to your children. Quickly tonight, before we go into the question and answer, key facts on children on bringing. Number one, don't delegate your children or bringing to one person. Don't delegate your children upbringing to house girl. Don't leave the house 4 a.m. and come back 11 p.m. at night. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, he says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. A child that is left to himself will bring his mother. Mothers here, you will not know shame. I say you will not know shame. The Bible says, don't delegate, over-delegate your children's or bring it to others. Be part. That's why you should have the number of children that you can take care of. Like me now, I love children so much. Actually, I wish I can have 12 children. Like the 12 tribes of Israel. My ministerial work and other assignment does not permit me to have beyond what I have now. But in actual fact, the way I love children, because I know any children I have, they must be fine. So I love it. I wish, but God knows that I've told him that I've had enough. Why? Because of the need to be able to give them good training. Don't delegate this. Don't give them to somebody that will be taking care of this child. Don't abandon your child somewhere. Number two, accept the responsibility of bringing up your children today so that they will not become a liability tomorrow. Accept children that you don't train today, a child you pamper today will tamper with your future tomorrow. If you pamper your child, you don't train him today. So the earlier you accept the responsibility of training your children, the better. Ensure you accept the responsibility of training them. If your husband is not there, you are there alone, train them. If your wife is not there, train them. Both of you particularly, sit down to train them. Tell them what they need to know. Number three. You must also know, I'm speaking now under key facts on children upbringing. I said number one, don't delegate their upbringing to others. Train them yourself. Number two, accept the responsibility of bringing them up today so that they will not become a liability tomorrow. Number three, God will hold you personally responsible for the outcome of your children. At the end of your life, or even while you are here, God will hold you responsible for what your children become. So if you abandon them and they become nonsense, God forbid, prostitute, thieves, bad behavior, children like Eli's children, Hophni and Phineas. Then God, you know the story of that. I don't have time tonight because I have to stop in the next 3 minutes now. Eli died in a very bad way. His neck got broken. And he died. Why? Because he did not take care of his children. And you get to me, you can read the story in 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, chapter 3. He just died because if he lost his priesthood as a result of his lack of training his children. Number four, key to children upbringing is give your children sense before you give them substance. Talk sense to your children's head. There are some parents, they can't speak to their own children. I don't understand. What kind of parent are you? A parent that cannot tell your children, stop it. What you are doing will kill you. This thing will destroy you. Stop it. Give your children manners before you give them money. Give them training before you give them treasure. Don't just give money to children. There, take this 10 million. Go to America. When they get to America, they are smoking by their wee-wee. I've seen many of them. There are many of them. They call us from different places. Please, sir, play phone for my... I am handling... My wife and I, we are handling two cases now. Presently now. One male, one female. Now. The two parents, very influential. But the children, you don't want to know what they are doing. One of them is still presently in a hospital now. We are praying day and night. Train them. There is nothing special in sending your children to America. It's not something that you say congratulations for America. America to do what? Who is there to take care of the child? Say, my child is now in America. 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 America doing what? I'm much better than many people in America. I can tell you that. And many of you here, you are much better than those here in America. You see them sometimes, you see where they are living. Big house is better. Train them, settle down. If they let them be here, they can fly anywhere in the world. Put them down, sit down here. Nonsense. Who is talking? You are talking. Who is talking? You are talking. I can never forget when I misbehaved in those days. My mother would lock me inside bathroom. Lock me inside. After beating you, lock you inside bathroom. You will beg, please. I will never do that again. When you come out, you write it 1,000 times. I will never do that again. I will never do that again. I will never do that again. 1,000 times. You will. Your brain will settle. It will simmer. All those nonsense in your brain will disappear. Nonsense. And number five, I need to stop now. Give them godly and goodly example. Many parents are the cause of the destruction of their life, children's life. They themselves destroy their... Please distribute the question a paper now. Or if you need a paper to ask any questions, please collect it now or never. Just raise up your hand so that we can quickly take that. We have sheets of paper. Protocol. Please, short questions. Short question, straight to the point, no story. Short question. I might not be able to take all. Just raise up your hand, then we'll do that. Then, protocol, please collect them now, then you read to us. Short questions. Okay? Give them godly and goodly examples. If you are a liar, you are inside the house and you tell your child, go and tell the person there that I'm not around, you will lie. Yourself, you and your child, you go to an hotel. When you are leaving the hotel, you pack the hotel towel with your goods. You know some people do like that. Right? You pack the hotel towel in your good, not toilet tissue paper or soap. Oh, that one is your money that buy it. But the hotel, they printed it there, Savannah suits, and you pack it. You put and your child, daddy, but that's it. Come on, shut up there. Shut up there. What do you mean? Are you my son or you're a bastard? Nonsense. When my father is talking, you are not. I don't dare talk. Anything my father do, you are teaching him theology. Be a good example to your children. Exemplify. Let your life depict godliness to your children. As a father, you come back home at night. Mo ti jaye leni o ma tu je tola o. You are drunk. Your child will say this is how life is. Or you carry your hand and you slap the mother. I didn't finish this series, so maybe when the book comes out, if God gives us the grace, we'll be able to continue. One of the most important things about marriage, let your children see the love you have for your wife. It will give them good upbringing. Let your children see the love you have for your wife. Carry your wife's cheeks. carry your wife at the back in the house, play around, let them say, what kind of person, what kind of daddy is this? At your age, is he doing jangrova, ikumato, everybody please. Let them see that you love her. May the Lord give us understanding. I pray that every home here shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. And I must say this as I close, be considerate. There are sometimes you need your wife's attention or your husband's attention. Maybe your wife is not feeling well, or maybe your husband has overworked himself. All the bones of his body is already loose. And then you are looking for it and say, please, I am my dad, please, I just want to rest. The world has bastardized me today. Please let him be. Be considerate. It's not every time that you over demand for attention. Sometimes you just have to let the person be. Maybe your wife has been bastardized by her bosses. A stupid lady. No, sir. You didn't meet your target. See, just know that you have 30 days in this company. And then she comes home very tired. Then you now say, baby, I need your attention. And she said, no, please, all I need now is God's attention. I need God's attention to help me to retain this job. Let us be considerate. You have to be considerate. And I pray that every home here shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. Give Jesus a big clap offering. Yes. Are we ready with the questions? Let's have the ones you have now. Let's have it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll read them because of time. We need to pray. We have over like 12 prayer points here that we need to pray. So, okay, number one. Success formula for relationship and marriage in first teaching is maturity. Sir, does this go for age in relationship? Age is about maturity. Age, there's nothing like, somebody can be 30 and it's not mature. Praise the Lord. Somebody can be 20 and it's already mature. So it depends on maturity. It depends on, so that maturity is not something that you can say this is a mature age. But of course, when somebody is in manageable age, you know that you're already in a manageable age. Is somebody in primary school a manageable age? Is someone in secondary school a manageable age? You are still coming up. So that's it. You know the age. When the age comes, you yourself, you know it. Okay? Which step should we take first between prayer and choosing the right partner? I've answered that question already now. How do you don't take a partner first before prayer? Prayer first. You first be sure that that's what God wants for you before you go into it. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. If you are dating two guys or ladies, in order to pick a final one at the end, is it wrong even as you are waiting on God to show you the one? That is called double dating. Do you know that you will be committing sin because you'll be lying? Because when one calls you, you will say you want to quickly, who is calling you? Is somebody there with you? And somebody is there, say no, I'm alone. I'll call you back. And somebody, you'll be lying. And those are the things that God does not want us to do. Let us face facts. The temptation is always there, but you must ensure as a child of God that you step out of such things. If you are in a two-sided relationship, it's better for you to break the two all together and wait on God for him to show you the way. If one of the two of them is the right person, the right person will come for you. If you are a lady, if you are a guy, double dating too is not right. It is not biblical. God does not want it. Okay, so stop it. Okay, right now, and then you can start all over again. Also, what do you do if your husband is a spendthrift? How can you teach him to spend wisely without having to hide your finances? Without having to hide your finances. Your husband is your husband now. Women have influence. Hello? Women have influence. Influence him positively. If your husband is a spendthrift, Then spend time. A lot of families, they don't have time to sit down together to even talk. It's one of the problems in homes. People don't sit down to talk. Food, sex, wake up, go to church, go to work, come back. There's no time of, no, that's not how to run a home. If you feel your husband is not doing something right or your wife, settle down to talk. Sometimes my wife and I will say, oh yeah, sit down here. Me, I sit down here. Sometimes you say, no, let me stand. I say, no, what I want to discuss with you is a sitting matter. Sit down. And we are there talking, chatting, resolving issues. This issue, this thing, how do we do this thing? How do we do this thing? You know, you must have a listening ears as a man. And what I've also noticed as a man over the few years that I've been married is you need to maintain facial contact if you are communicating. You can't be talking to your wife and at the same time you are watching Man U. You can't be serious matter that she's boiling over. You are saying, hey, go! And she's talking serious matter. She'll be angry. So maintain facial contact. And Yoruba will say, the talk is in the eye. The talk is in the eye. Maintain facial contact so that she can be sure that you are hearing. Praise the Lord. Is it in man's nature to cheat? It's an Adamic nature to cheat. It's not man's nature. It is from Adam. And let me tell you, the cheating nature was brought into many lives through the Adamic nature. Adam, or the flesh. You see, there is a war between the spirit and the flesh. And this does not exempt any Christian. Now, that's why you must improve on your spirituality and walk with God so that the flesh can be suppressed and your spirituality boosted. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, don't allow this, because there's a war. That's what the Bible says. There's a war between the spirit and the flesh. So, don't allow the flesh to take, you are tempted. And I've said it many times, you can be tempted, but make sure you don't fall into that temptation. Make sure you don't persist in that temptation. You know, rejoice not, Micah chapter 7 verse 8, rejoice not over me, my enemies, for when I fall, I will rise again. If you are falling, rise up again and continue your journey. Continue your journey. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, know ye not that all run in a race, but one obtaineth a prize. So run that you might obtain the prize. Okay, so run, keep running so that you can obtain the prize. Can we have that? If someone is in a relationship with another person and you know your mother will not accept the person because of his or her ethnic group, is it advisable to continue in the relationship? It's very good to have parental consent when you are getting married. Okay, for me, I believe a lot of times when parents say, insist that this thing is not right, sometimes there's some, especially if your parent is a child of God. If your parent insists, I've seen something you cannot see. I've seen something. This thing, desist. Jawambe, I've seen something. You too can pray about it. Then if you feel that it is God's will, pray that God will convince your parent. Pray that God will convince, because sometimes a lot of things parents can see it, and a lot of times I can see something as a spiritual parent and I might not tell you because of the danger I can see. Now, if you, one or two people here have gone to you, have been to your house, I just walked into your house and said, sir, you are here. I saw something in the night about you and I walked into your house. Or I might not come into your house. I've fasted for 40 days in this church for just one person before, who I saw something about. Who the person was about to deliver, and I saw something. And I fasted for, and on the 40th day that the fast was broken, the person delivered. So, you know, spiritual parents or physical parents, sometimes when they see something, just try as much as possible to, but you pray about it, especially if your child, if your parents are spiritual, okay, there may be something they have seen. So take your time, pray, try to convince. If they insist, you know, you must have parental blessing. It's very important. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Hey, we need to close this service. So, which advice do you give to a married man who likes coming home late at night every day, sir? And is not ready to change. Every married man here in this commission, in this Praise Tabernacle and in any of our churches is not allowed to come home late. It's not part of our ethics as children of God. What are you looking for at night? Yorubas will say, a child born in a good house does not go around at night. A child is one of the things that makes us know if you are well brought up. Stop it. There is no way if you meander at night, you will not enter into evil. You enter into evil. Recently, some months ago, my children went for camp, Boy Scout camp. And I was supposed to go and pick them at night from a school, St. Joseph's. I think that was last year or so. That was the first time I knew that there are prostitutes this Ilorin. At night, that was around past 9 at night. I saw them around Choir Hotels at night. They were waving down the car. Waving down the car. Baby. Oh boy. Joe. Hey. If you are walking around at night, you will enter into such traps. The guy will tell you it's for free. I know everything that is free is not really free. So be careful. Please stop it. What about if you are attacked at night? What about if something happens at night? Armed robbers move around at night. A lot of things happen at night. So night is not a time you are walking around. We were here last week Friday. Not this Friday. Upper Friday. Pastors, you remember? We were praying here. Pastors VG. And we started hearing gunshots at the gate. Remember? You know what happened? A policeman were going and they saw somebody just walking in the front of our church here and they released bullets. This was just 2 Fridays ago. Eventually, stop here, we kill you. And when the man did not stop, the man wanted to enter our gate, was shaking our gate like this. He released bullets before they realized, when they came near him and held him, they realized that there was a security man somewhere that was just strolling around aimlessly. They would have killed him for free. They would have killed him for free, and they were going to say we met him. He was just stealing a car, or he was just about to break into a church or something. And there's nothing anybody can do. He's dead. If the family goes to contest it, there's nothing he can do. You just wish them well. So don't stop moving around at night. It's not good. It's not good. There's a minimum time issue. You should be dying. When it's dark, you should be dying to get home. What are you doing outside? You can enjoy yourself. You can enjoy your marriage. There is too much temptation outside there now to be meandering around. Please, God will help us in Jesus' name. Okay? In seeking God's face in relationship, is it okay to ask God for God's go ahead in a relationship based on the fact that you like such a person because it is possible to pray to God to show you your partner, but you find yourself not having feelings towards the person? If God shows you something and you feel that, if God shows you something, you might not have feelings not initially, but with time you will have feelings. Okay, that's the way it is. It might not, because somebody God shows you might not be 100% what you have thought of from the onset. It might not be 100%. There will be some attraction, but it might not be 100%. But as you pray and as you become friends and all that, things will fall into place. But don't run faster than God. Don't be a bebeto. Don't be jumping. Relax so that God will be able to lead you, because once you fire on in the relationship, to come back again is a problem. Okay, so take your time and let God speak to you. And then let God also convince the other person. And you know, it's a journey. It's not a one day journey. It's a long journey. So you begin to like each other and move on and get better. Some people are of the opinion that one should have had some experience in relationship before marriage. I don't want to get into any relationship till I'm ready for marriage. Is this wrong or right? It's okay. There's nothing that says that you must get into several relationships. Have like 64 relationships before you get married. For what? For what reason? If your wish is that the person you want to get married to, please pray about it and please keep yourself. It will happen like that. It will happen like that. You don't have to be testing grounds and dating so many people. I'll just take 3 more and then we pray. And we still have so many here. Do you still have some? Have you collected more? Okay. Please, sir. If God reveals someone I can't see this handwriting very well. If God reveals someone he's about his or her partner as a single, but that person revealed by God is in a relationship already, can God substitute? Don't pray to break anybody's relationship. Okay? If somebody's relationship with somebody and it's, the person is meant for you, the relationship will eventually break and the person will come to you. But don't be the destroyer. You know, one thing I always say, as long as this world remaineth, seed time and harvest will always be there. If you work on destroying people, you will eventually be destroyed. Whatever you do is what you are going to reap. So don't invest. You know, one reason why I try to treat people good, nicely and all that, because I know I also have children, biological children and spiritual children, doing very well. And I don't want them to reap something bad, because they must reap it. You know, I didn't have time. I wanted to show you some scriptures. I think it's Exodus chapter 20. Give me that scripture. Exodus chapter 20, that the father and the mother, whatever they do, it will affect their children to the third and the fourth generation. Track the verse. In that Exodus 20, I think that's 9 or thereabout. Exodus chapter 20. This Exodus 20. Get it out now. Get that verse out. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord will continue to help us in Jesus' name. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Anything that any man or woman does, he will reap it even to the third and the fourth generation. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exodus 24 to 6. 4 to 6. Why did you go to another? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image or any likeness of any kind that is in heaven or above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Yes. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father unto the children, unto the third and the what? Fourth. So whatever you do, your children to the third and fourth generation will be. So be careful. Let me just take this last one because of time. How do you handle the issue of distance in a relationship? For instance, throughout the relationship, the both parties are in different countries. Wouldn't it affect the relationship? Number one, when you are planning to get married, I will always advise your distance should not be too close, so as not to avoid. I think I'm speaking pastors. It should not be too close, so as not to avoid temptation. Some things that you think you can't do, if you are too close to somebody, you will do it. That's why it's better when you notice that somebody is getting too close to you. I don't want anything. Just separate yourself. You know, so as not to get yourself into problems. But in relationship, if somebody is far away and the relationship is going on smoothly, let the person stay. You two stay now. Be praying and be communicating through normal communication. If you see yourselves, you relate very well. And then when it's time for marriage, you will come home, and then you get married, and then you can go together to any extent. You know, sometimes it might be a blessing in disguise. Because if you were around, it might get you pregnant. If you are around, it might get you into problems. So let him just be, you two be. If you want, at least relationship, you should be as short as possible so that when the time comes, you guys can get married. I also don't advise long distance relationship that is too long. It's not very, very nice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sorry. There are more questions here, but we need to stop now so as to be able to pray. Give Jesus a big clap. Let's rise up on our feet.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.